League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
On a 2-1, Alvarez hits a high drive center field. Veerling's back. This game is turned upside down.
It's almost baseball time in Houston, baby. Woo! Astros pitchers and catchers reported to West Palm Beach yesterday. We are hearing tidbits from them, courtesy of some of our friends that are down in Florida reporting on the team. Let's be honest, it's still a long way away, but we're getting close. We're getting close to baseball season, people. And look, as spring training begins, there really aren't that many questions that have to do with the Houston Astros that are going to be resolved before the real games. Who's going to be their backup catcher? Yennier Diaz or Corey Lee? Where's David Hensley going to play? How much is he going to play? It's questions like that. But I thought, even though we are still 42 days away from the start of the Astros regular season, that today is a day to just go full Astros. I don't want to talk about the Rockets. I just don't. I'll have to, but I don't. I know that some of you also are getting a tad tired of Texans offseason talk. We'll do a little bit of that over the course of today's show. But I am jeeped up on HEB Texas Pecan Coffee. It's better than whatever swill you're drinking. It is the number one coffee in Texas. And I'm going to list the five biggest questions for the Houston Astros going into the 2023 season. The obvious one is this. They're going to miss Justin Verlander. I don't think this is debatable. In a season where you will be playing less teams in the American League West than in years past, playing every team across baseball, which means a decent amount of National League East teams, the entire American League East, you do that as it is already. I think it's going to be one of those years where you win maybe a few less games. The real question is, how much are you going to miss Justin Verlander? And are Framber Valdez and Christian Javier capable of carrying the rotation for a full season? Number two, I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. You can get it at Breaking Tea. Jeremy Pena, it says MV Pena across his shirt as he gives his trademark shrug before his other trademark, the heart hands, which he'd send to the Astros dugout. Is the real Jeremy Pena the guy we saw in the playoffs? This show thinks yes, but is he closer to the guy we saw in the regular season? I think that's a fair question to ask. Number three, how much of a difference is Jose Abreu going to provide? He is objectively, at this stage of his career, a better player than Yuli Gurriel, but at the same time, Yuli Gurriel was about as clutch as it gets down the stretch and in the postseason. Jose Abreu is someone whose power numbers have started to decline. He's getting up there in age. We're getting towards the late 30s. Is he going to make a massive difference? The next question I have is, who is their biggest American League challenger? That's number four. I think it's between the Yankees, they brought in Rodon this offseason, and the Mariners, who are a young team, slowly getting better. Teoscar Hernandez, their big acquisition this offseason. And the last part, The last question I have for the Houston Astros going into the 2023 season, are they too old? Do they have enough depth? Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, they're in their 30s. Are they going to make it through an entire season? Michael Brantley is back in the outfield. Is he going to be able to make it through an entire season? Your outfield depth is not great. I think Chaz McCormick deserves an opportunity to start in center field. Brantley's going to get some reps in left field. Yordan Alvarez will be out there, and Kyle Tucker's in right. Is that enough? In the infield, is that enough? It seems like right now David Hensley is your super utility. How much is he going to play, and is he going to be able to build off of the pretty clutch at-bats that he had in the postseason? And we will see. So those are my five biggest questions for the Houston Astros going into 2023. What are your biggest questions for the Houston Astros going into 2023? Now I'm all of a sudden starting to think about my TGS Insurance live reads. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Good morning. What's your biggest question for the Houston Astros going into the 2023 season?
Will they win the World Series in a sweep or in five? No.
I like that, actually. Are they going to be able to go through the postseason with a perfect record?
Got close.
I mean, look, I know people got mad at me when I was talking about that going into the World Series. That was a borderline historic feat. If they were able to win the World Series and go 11-0 in the playoffs, like, that is something that would probably be one of the most impressive accomplishments in postseason history going forward until they inevitably expand the playoffs more.
But honestly, I think it is the question of who's the AL challenger, where you look at the AL and you see the Mariners, but they're also in your division and you swept them and beat them in the regular season by 19 games. And then you look at the AL Central. No one scares
the
you.
AL
Central
literally does not matter. Much like the Midwest, and I think it's on brand that most of those teams are in the Midwest. And thoughts and prayers on a serious note to the people that are in East Palestine, Ohio. Holy crap. That's all I have to say. Look it up for yourself. I can't believe this isn't a bigger story. But the Midwest, I mean, it doesn't matter. Neither does the American League Central.
And then you look at the AL East, and it's the Yankees, who I don't think anyone in the city of Houston is scared of in any way.
Right.
Just even people walking down the street that aren't Astros fans aren't scared of them. And then you have maybe the Rays. It feels like the Rays are due for a bounce back. You have the Blue Jays, who haven't won anything in the playoff. So someone has to emerge, at least for like the national media or the talking heads to be like, you know, watch out for this team. Because not everyone's going to pick the Astros. Just ask the Chiefs. No one believes in the Chiefs. No one's going to believe in the Astros either October.
We definitely will find all the motivational ploys we can over the course of this season. We do have another edition of Keep That Same Energy coming up at 10:15. Because we do need to get, you know, it's spring training for us too. We need to get back into
Warming up.
Yeah, starting fights online because people don't respect the Astros.
Loosening up the arm. You're on a pitch count on fights online, but, you know, we're looking to bump you up slowly in time for opening day.
100%. This is a group effort. We want to continue to be the most toxic fan base in sports. It's fun.
I don't think we're even close to the
most toxic. We're definitely not, but we can get there someday. Don't we want to challenge Philadelphia for that? We won the World Series. What else is left? Being insufferable, terrible fans? Yeah. I'm just kidding, though. There's a certain point like where some of y'all need to calm down every now and then. But hey.
Don't listen to them.
The biggest questions from the Astros going into 2023. The American League Challenger one is interesting. I feel like the Blue Jays get hype every single year to the same degree that the Chargers do in the NFL.
they are baseball's Chargers.
It's like every year, what are they going to do? And then, they easily got dispatched despite having a home series against the Seattle Mariners in that little three-game series that they had.
And they haven't really done anything. Like, their most memorable moments are, like, series they lost.
Yeah.
It's the most memorable moment.
Seriously.
Until you go back to 1993.
Right. And, I mean, you weren't alive and I was four. So, I mean, that's how far back that goes. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the HRNP listener line. Virginia Buttonweed's providing a little motivational material here. Big question. Without Verlander, can we call the Astros a rebuilding team? that is what they will be talking about at the World Series parade. I like that energy. Another question, as far as the biggest questions for the Houston Astros going into the 2023 season, do we need Clay Walker to sing It's Baseball Time in Houston? Yes. Come on. How hasn't he done that already?
I was going to say the Astros do need a song, and then I remembered Paul Wall came out with the Astros song like 4 months ago.
Do we want to come back with that song?
I mean, I know it's controversial to some.
Listen, if we listen to it enough, we'll actually enjoy it, you know?
I don't think that's worked for football time in Houston.
Yes, it has. You don't like football time in Houston?
I don't think it's worked for a lot of people.
Well, they don't get it, okay?
You've been, like, I don't know, Soviet Russia brainwashed into liking that song, I feel like.
Yeah, from my time at the flagship, 100%. That's 100% the case. One last question. Virginia Bunweed, big questions for the Astros going into 2023. How will the loss... Hang on, the thing moved for a second. How will the loss of Verlander impact the Texans' run-blocking scheme? Another good question.
Do they need to go with Bryce... Do they need to trade up to get Bryce Young because the Astros lost Justin Verlander?
Would Bryce Young be a better baseball player than a football player? Kyler Murray, short, plays baseball.
Can the Texans trade the number two pick for Kyler Murray and then move him to the Astros?
Yeah, these are the questions.
To be a center fielder. Boom.
Exactly. This is a great question. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. What are your biggest questions for the Houston Astros in 2023? Plus, it's spring training for us, too. We got to maintain that same energy to strike down any rebels who dareth to questioneth our beloved Astros. And we have some ammunition coming up. Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Question of today's show, what is the biggest question for the Houston Astros going into the 2023 season? Pitchers and catchers reported yesterday for spring training. We are getting some tidbits out of spring training. Luis Garcia has already changed his pitching delivery, which is one that lends itself to balks. Martin Maldonado lost 17 pounds. That doesn't always work out. Because if you remember last offseason, I believe we were discussing how, thanks to cutting out pizza and Coke, Yuli Gurriel had lost some weight. And then he struggled at the beginning of the year. It's strange how sometimes in sports, when you get in better shape, you're not the same player. This was the problem for Dwayne Brown a couple of years back with the Houston Texans, too. Came back in the best shape of his life, and he was not good the first couple of weeks of the season. I don't understand how it's like that, but sometimes you just have a natural playing weight, and if you start to get cut to the point where you're looking swimsuit good, that actually might not help you out.
Trust me. I've seen this play out, not just in sports, but also in sports radio. Where
what do you mean?
Sometimes, you know, for some people, being in the best shape of their life, not always the best.
That I think at least
that's what I assume. I assume that people are, like, trying not to be in the best shape of their
life. I'm trying to be in the best shape of my life, Sean.
Okay. I believe
you
are.
I feel like you're taking a shot at me.
No, I'm taking a shot at literally everyone else.
Am I a little fat right now?
No, I'm taking a shot at everyone else that works in this industry.
But I'm taking it personally.
Okay. Well, do you feel like you're in better shape than you were 10 years ago?
To an extent, yes.
Okay.
Drinking shape, no. But to an extent, yes. To an extent. Like, I'm bigger, more muscular.
Okay.
All right, I'll stop. Everyone's like, Paul, Jesus.
I didn't like where that was going.
You turn it all into the Paul Gallant show, but it's like the real Paul Gallant therapy show. This is where I, you know, project all my inner issues. A texter, thank God for satellite radio. I would agree for those last couple of minutes. Hey, some other questions. Will Jeremy Pena stay in the two hole? Asks Brother Bear. He should.
In the lineup. The two hole in the lineup.
Sean, I get it. You didn't need to repeat the joke. We're just going to let that one marinate for a second. Brantley has to go to the back of the lineup, and Pena has to stay at the top. Pena played too well. Much like Chaz McCormick has to be your starting center fielder next year, no matter what happens in spring training. He could bat zero. McCormick has to start the year as your center fielder because he did play well in the playoffs, and he deserves an opportunity to try that out. Will Paul retire the Mariners shirt, the half Astros, half Mariners shirt? Well, every now and then, guys, I need to motivate the Astros, right? I mean, I am the voice of Houston sports talk. Everyone says it. Everyone knows it. And every now and then, you got to poke the bear. Because, look, the Astros are the best team in baseball. But I think we, as a fan base, now that the Astros have won a second title, some of us have started to sigh. A good sigh. A sigh of relief over the fact that they finally won a legitimate one in the eyes of those on the outside. But I sense that some of you still have that piss and vinegar. Yesterday, we had Evan Drellick aboard. Whole podcast is up, the Paul Gallant Show podcast, which is available on Apple and on Spotify. And we talked to him about his book, Winning Fixes Everything. And this comment right here got some of you guys listening going.
For as much as you hear people say, oh, everyone was doing something, the evidence doesn't show that. The evidence shows that veteran contending teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the book has reporting on the Dodgers, had been using a base runner system, meaning you were using your video room to decode signs, get it to the dugout, get it to the runner on second base. So there's evidence of veteran contending teams. There's not evidence, except for people, you know, third-party finger-pointing allegations saying, everybody was doing it. Well, you know, show me. You know, the thing that separated the reporting that Ken Rosenthal and I did at The Athletic on both the Astros and the Red Sox was that it was from the inside. It wasn't just random Joe Schmo going, random player going, oh, yeah, I think those guys are up to no good. But it's not really evidence of it, right? And so there's got to be some threshold of that.
Some of you guys heard that comment and the other where he was comparing cheating team by team, using a metaphor that involves miles per hour, saying what the Astros were doing was like going 130 in a 60-mile-per-hour zone where other teams were going 90. Some of you didn't like that, but it was good because you guys found a little pep in your step during these fat and happy times. I mean, biggest question for the Houston Astros going into the year per Brian McTaggart is, who's going to be the backup catcher? So we need to keep you on edge. We need to get you in midseason form like Chandler Rome already is. This tweet yesterday made me cackle. He tweeted out about some of the changes that are going to happen going into the 2023 season box and said, did you know that the Astros pitching staff had only two pickoffs all last season? A guy by the name of Josh tweeted back, they won the World Series, Chandler. Chandler responded, where did I say they didn't? And Josh goes, are you stating this stat to imply it's a less important facet of the game or Maldi is enough of a deterrent? Or, and this is my suspicion, that the Astros suck and you hate them. Rome, I am writing about the rule changes, which includes a limit on pickoffs. Saw the stat, found it interesting, and shared it. Get a life, clown. Chandler's in midseason form. The season hasn't even begun, and Chandler is ready to club you on the internet. You need to get there. It's time to keep that same energy.
Have you even slightly insulted the Houston Astros today?
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill.
We'll hunt you down, mother.
They are for Houston. They got Houston.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We're keeping that same energy.
Now witness the firepower of this battle station.
You may fire when ready.
Alvarez. Drive center field. Beerling's back. This game is turned upside down.
You're damn right we'll play that highlight twice in the same show. Trying to keep the good vibes going, but we're also trying to get you guys back at your A game. Here's something to get pissed off about. There will not be a documentary coming out anytime soon about the Houston Astros dynastic, per Nick Wright of Fox Sports, run. Although he's talking about the Chiefs, but we apply it to the Houston Astros. 6 straight American League Championship appearances. It's more impressive than what the Chiefs have been doing. ESPN announced it is working on an 8-part documentary series titled The Yankees Win. Oh, no. We just had an 8-part Yankees documentary. We just had one. Or was it 7 parts? About the captain, Derek Jeter. Oh, my God. We're getting another one. The documentary will focus on the Yankees' success, including interviews and some never-before-seen footage.
Well, if it's called Yankees Win, though, like, the documentary just ends in 2009, right? Like,
that's what I'm assuming.
There's nothing that happens, like, while Barack Obama's president, like, or I guess he's 1 year into his presidency.
I think so. Look, this is the version of keep that same energy that Yankee fans get. Sometimes you need reminders of the 27 rings that you didn't actually ever watch, you know? I mean, there's a lot of Yankee fans alive today who have only seen the one that they won in 2009. Some people need to see what they won in the 90s and all the years before. This is how they can get back up and remember, oh yeah, we can still say 27 rings. Because, hate them all you want, those jabronis still can do that. It sucks, you know, to have somebody wearing someone with a Yankees hat on, and he's got his wife beater, and he's got his faux gold chain, and he's probably wearing a Jorge Posada jersey, and he's got his Timberlands on. You know, that guy is still going to say 27 rings to you. This is how he keeps that same energy. We keep that same energy by seeing this and feeling pissed off about the fact that the Astros and their dominance of the Yankees will likely not be included in this documentary.
No, I mean, it won't be, because the title is Yankees Win.
Yes.
Yankees Win. What do you call a documentary The Yankees? So, like, it's literally just going to be propaganda. Like, it's just going to be the winning.
100%.
It's not going to be the losing.
I think that the more interesting Yankee teams have been the ones that had a lot of bleep. Like, the Bronx is Burning ESPN miniseries that was on a couple of years ago. Like, that was intriguing. You know, Reggie Jackson, now a Houston Astros legend, not a New York Yankees legend. Can they actually include Reggie Jackson in this documentary, by the way? He's the Astros, officially an Astro now.
So they show highlights of him hitting home runs in, like, the 70s or whatever. And then when they go to him, like, in the interview setting, like, when he's talking about it, I hope he's wearing an Astros cap.
I hope so,
too. Or at least, like, a zip-up or something.
He needs a polo shirt. He needs to. They probably won't let him, though.
They'll blur it out, like it's explicit.
It'll be censored, right? Like, they'll just have, like, a big black bar over it, essentially, because it'll be, like, poorly edited. I'm kidding. This will likely be an interesting documentary, but no Astros part in it. Also, keep that same energy for this. ESPN only gave the Astros a C+ for their off-season grade. Oh, I thought all grades were generally easy in 2023. This is inconsistent. A C+. From ESPN is essentially an F, because everyone just get B's and A's today with your lazy graders. People that clearly didn't go to private schools. They don't grade hard. Oh, a C+. They got Jose Abreu. They hired the Dana Brown. They let Justin Verlander walk because they got a damn good pitching staff already. This is the ammo you need to keep that same energy, people. We are in spring training form, but we will continue to find you things that'll make you angry and get you mad as hell. Up next, Patrick Mahomes is proof that Texas Tech people are the best. You will hear why next. Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stack! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Before you hear why Patrick Mahomes is proof that Texas Tech folk are the best, there was an interesting development from a couple of sources when it comes to Lamar Jackson's future in Baltimore. Number one, per the NFL Network, the Ravens intend to keep Lamar Jackson, but they could be swayed to trade the former MVP with a Godfather offer. If no long-term deal is reached, the Ravens would consider trading the 26-year-old quarterback for a, quote, windfall of draft picks, per Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero, and Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network. Another interesting tidbit, and this comes from Jordan Schultz, the Ravens didn't provide full assurances that Lamar Jackson would return as the team's quarterback in 2023 while conducting offensive coordinator interviews. This is not perhaps the best idea, but if you're Nick Caserio, you have to make a call. You have to. He's 26, and would the Texans not be so bleeping cool with Lamar Jackson on them? I mean, you want to one-up hiring D'Amico Ryans, and I know there are some out there that aren't the biggest Lamar Jackson fans. I am. Oh, my God. You have the capital to do it, unlike a lot of teams out there. You have the cap space to do it, too. I don't know if he would accept the trade here, but I think he would be more willing to accept a trade now than he would have been a couple of weeks ago. All I am saying is this is a phone call Nick Caserio should make, along with the phone call to Derek Carr about, hey, what's it going to cost? Do your due diligence. Hey, if you get Lamar Jackson, who cares what you have at number two overall, where people are unsure about Bryce Young, people are unsure about C.J. Stroud, people are unsure about Will Levis. Make a phone call, see what it'll cost, and maybe talk to Lamar Jackson's agent and see if he would actually want to come here. That's it. That's all you got to do. I don't think it's likely that he would, but you have to do your due diligence as a general manager.
Yeah, you had to kick those tires. And honestly, having the second pick, like, that is such a more valuable than any first-round pick that you're getting, like, in a Rodgers trade or in another Lamar trade, because you're probably getting next year's pick that you think is going to be in the 20s because that team has Lamar Jackson on them. You're getting the second overall pick.
Right. That's awesome. And you can add a couple extra picks in there.
Yeah, you can do the second and 12 and then like a third.
You have a ton. I think you'd be crazy to not at least pick up the phone. A couple of people are pushing back against the idea that Texas Tech fans and Texas Tech grads are the best. Well, you'd be wrong. As someone who is a man of the night, someone who likes to throw a few back, I have found that Texas Tech grads are generally the most fun to hang out with. Shout out to Texas State, who scare me at times because they go perhaps a little bit too hard. But Texas Tech is my number one among schools in Texas. I'll say it once, I'll say it again. Proof, Patrick Mahomes. We touched on earlier this week on Valentine's Day, the most universally loved athletes in sports. How can you not love Patrick Mahomes, especially considering what a party animal he is? After the Super Bowl, this audio was caught on camera where Patrick Mahomes had this to say about what he plans to do next. And it's not, I'm going to Disney World.
I'm about to hammer like 100 points.
I'm about to hear like 100 Coors Lights. And then he laughs. Do you want more stories of the legend of Patrick Mahomes' drinking ability? Comedian Andrew Santino was on Pardon My Take, and he had this to say about partying with Patrick Mahomes.
And the server comes up to me and she's like, "That's your party, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, whatever. I'll take care of the bill. Like, whatever it is." She's like, No. We're comping everything anyway. I just want to let you know, like, we have someone that's going to go have to get more Coors Light because
nice.
Mr. Mahomes has finished nice. All the Coors Light.
Yep. He's a Coors Light athlete.
Bro, I'm not kidding when I say this. Maybe 13 the first show.
I love it.
Maybe 10 the second show.
Hell
and
yes.
Then we went out.
Yes.
And of course, I remember, you forget, I'm almost 40. He's much younger. So when the shows are done, I'm also tired. I worked. And Pat's like, "Yo, let's go out." And I'm like, we're out. It's over.
They went out. They had fun. Patrick Mahomes even said this before the Super Bowl in an interview with Cooper Manning, who tucks his jeans into his cowboy boots. Just let that marinate for a second. I don't know much about wearing cowboy boots. I know you get bootcut jeans and that you don't tuck them in. This Yankee has learned. with his one pair of cowboy boots. You don't do that. But Mahomes and Cooper Manning were talking about those boots. I'm sure that Mahomes judged the bleep out of Cooper Manning, again, tucking his jeans into his boots. But then he said, if I win the Super Bowl, I'll do this.
And I've seen probably that exact pair in Lubbock, actually.
Yeah, fill it up with cold beer, and the rest is history.
Yeah, cold Coors Light. Coors Light, you know, that's about, I would say, probably about five of them.
That's our Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl plan.
That's post-Super Bowl. If you bring that thing there, we get the win, I'll drink the beer out of the booth with you.
I'll drink the beer out of the boot with you. Can we get Patrick Mahomes and John Granato to do a Coors Light ad together? Or just to go out on the town together?
Is Patrick Mahomes like actually sponsored by Coors Light?
I don't know.
Does Coors Light sponsor athletes?
I'm pretty sure, Sean, that it's illegal in the NFL to be a sponsor of alcohol if you're a player. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Huh.
So it's very strange that he is such a Coors Light guy. But everyone's married to one specific beer. Like, I'm a Miller Light guy. I will say, when I was in Colorado a couple of weeks ago, the Coors Light tasted amazing there. It like tasted noticeably different. But if I'm power ranking the number one light beer in the world, and I remember they had that commercial between Miller Light and Coors Light, who I think are owned by the same company. Miller Light's my one. Coors Light is my two. Bud Light is not something I'll drink. So, like, I do everything before that. Shiner Light Blonde should be in that top three conversation.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Oh, no, beer sponsors can now use active player likenesses. And this is articles from 2019. There's been an official beer of the NFL for as long as I can remember. But Pat Mahomes can't sell me Coors Light? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. I don't understand why.
Because, what are we doing?
Right. I mean, now we're legalizing gambling, but a guy can't sell alcohol. A couple of Twitchers are teaching me things, and I'll admit, I am a Yankee. You guys know it. You tuck your jeans into your boots per King of All Twitches when you're snake hunting. And it's oil field standard practice per the roughnecks out there to tuck your pants in your boots. Okay. It looks bad, but okay. That makes a little more sense. But we're talking about...
I don't think Cooper Manning was doing either of those things.
We're talking about Cooper Manning. He is doing neither of those things.
Longhorn dad Cooper Manning wasn't doing any of those.
Yeah, listen. I'm a Metro idiot Yankee, so I'm sure the text line's blowing a lot. Actually, you do it here, here, here. Okay, fine. It looks bad, I think. I think it makes you look like you're either Mason Ramsey, that kid that went famous for yodeling, or it makes you look... Like
Woody from Toy Story.
That too. Or you look like some basic girl that's about to go out for a night on the town. But it's going to get me drunk. You better not touch my junk. And that you're going to go get a picture of yourself taken in front of like some, you know, neon light. And it's going to say like, bitches forever. Or something stupid like that. And not even spell it right. It'll be B-E-T. C-H-E-S. Anyway, we got to keep going. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're not giving up the chip on their shoulder. Here was Patrick Mahomes on the idea that Kansas City was rebuilding going into this past season.
Before we started this season, the AFC West said we were rebuilding. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what rebuilding means. In our rebuilding year, we're world champs. We're world champs.
Mahomes is actually right here. There were some people that were saying they were rebuilding, but rebuilding for the Chiefs is playoff caliber, right? Well, guys, Patrick Mahomes gave the microphone to Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce, he will not let that massive chip go anytime soon. I mean, it's an entire fried tortilla. Here is Travis Kelce on all of the haters.
The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs. The haters were saying the Chiefs were done.
I will say, the fart noise plays.
You like it?
I like the fart noise. It's so ridiculous that it's like, okay, that's kind of fun.
It's better than him saying you gotta fight for your right to party. Surely he won't do that. Here's Travis Kelce giving a speech.
In all reality, this was the best season of my life. I owe it to you guys. I owe it to the guys on this stage. I owe it to everybody in Chiefs Kingdom and the organization that we've been able to create. Everybody's asking, this is a dynasty. It's been a dynasty. Y'all just ain't know this till now. Believe that feel that and it's Chiefs Kingdom forever, baby. We love y'all. Let me hear you say, oh! Na, na, na. Let's run the back.
Was he just improvising with that? Is that from a song?
It's from a song.
What was it from? You got to fight for your right to party.
No, it's from Make 'em Say Uh.
Make 'em Say Uh, okay. To go back a little bit earlier in this, Patrick Mahomes, very good drinker, clearly. Texter from the 713. Mahomes probably needs to drink to put up with his wife. Hey, come on. That's a cheap shot. That's a cheap shot. They've loved each other since high school. I'm sure he is very, very used to her habits by now. And look, she's passionate. I would love to have a ride or die like that. We got Ryan calling in at 713-780-3776. This is one of those shows. He wants to talk boots. Ryan, teach this Yankee what he's talking about.
Okay, buddy. I see your pants and boots, but I raise you pants and flip-flops.
Pants and flip-flops. I mean, now, some of you guys haven't lived in Florida like I have. I know I pronounce Florida incorrectly. I always have to overpronounce the O-R. That's where my northern accent kicks in. I lived in Florida for high school, and when I was there, I regularly wore jeans with flip-flops. It is a Florida look. Much like cowboy boots are a Texas look. You got to be versatile in your looks. It's been a while since I've worn flip-flops with jeans. I got to say, I don't even have flip-flops anymore. Now I just have, or tongs, if you will. Now I have Birkenstocks, and I get endless crap about having these Birkenstock sandals from pretty much anybody who sees me wear them in Texas. In Seattle, everyone's like, whoa, nice Birkenstocks. And here, everyone's like, what are those?
Yeah, that makes sense. That dichotomy makes sense.
I don't get it, though. They're comfy. They have the arc support.
I'm sure they are. I was going to say tomorrow for a Friday, you should come in jeans and flip-flops, but you don't have
Florida shirt Friday. Well, if the weather's warm enough, you know what?
Yeah, I don't think it will be.
I'll wear my, it does seem like it's going to drop like 50 degrees today.
Maybe next Friday.
Okay, next Friday. I know. Gosh.
It has to be on a Friday, though.
I'm probably going to wear something rodeo-related next Friday.
Oh, true.
I'm about to go down to Cavender's so I can appropriate Texas culture a little bit more and be like Cooper Manning, except for with my jeans not tucked into my boots. I'm going to get myself a authentic Texas rodeo shirt because normally I just wear flannel and my Yellowstone starter set. Okay, we're way late. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Super Bowl parade happened yesterday. The brainwashing that I may have received at the flagship station is mad at me because I have yet to do a things that the Houston Texans can learn from the Super Bowl segment. So we will do that next. Sorry. Paul Galacho.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
So this was the song that Travis Kelce was singing along to.
Yep.
In his own mind. Okay. Honestly, off the top of my head, I would not be able to even improvise this song. I wouldn't. I've heard this as a rejoin a couple of times, but Sean, I do not know the actual song itself. I'm musically challenged. Don't hate me.
The only part that you need to know is the part that Travis Kelce said.
Okay, cool. A couple of questions. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Are the Texans a contender, say they were, to pick up the phone, call the Baltimore Ravens, and trade for Lamar Jackson? No, I don't think so. I think they would be basically like a 7-9 win team with Lamar Jackson. I think that they would win probably most of their games in the AFC South. For whatever reason, they own the Jaguars, but there's four right there. Then you just have to win three, the remaining 17. I think Lamar Jackson can get you that. The question with Jackson, though, is can he actually last a 17-game season? As the NFL schedule gets bigger and bigger, that would be a reason to potentially say, well, I'm not that sold on Lamar Jackson. He seems like someone who is going to miss 2-3 games a year just based off of the way he plays. But I do think he's a lot better as a passer than people say he is. This is from the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Sean Mapes is our resident UT fan, though I tend to identify as UT with my bougie cake-eating nature. HRW_S1W says, Sean, UT is in trouble if Arch's dad tucks his jeans. Oh,
okay,
his
it just says tucks, and so I didn't want to get into what he does in his personal life, but if he tucks his jeans into his boots, I don't know. On the list of problems at UT, that's pretty low.
You've had two zingers today. Bravo. Anyway, guys, I worked at the Texans flagship for a while, and I can't help myself sometimes. You see a topic, and you're like, well, how can I bring this back to the Houston Texans? So just let me do this, okay? It's going to be over soon. It's time for a little Texans spin zone.
You are now in the Texans spin zone.
Okay, guys. There were a couple of articles over the last 2 days that made me laugh. This was from Brian T. Smith. It's titled, "The Magic of Patrick Mahomes is Another Reminder Why the Texans Need a Dynamic Quarterback to Compete." Wait, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, it was Patrick Mahomes that showed him that, not the...
Not the entire history of the league over the last 30 years. Nope. It's good that we watched this Super Bowl. It's good that we learned this. The Texans should, in case you didn't know, guys, be looking for someone like the first player in NFL history to win multiple championships and multiple league MVPs within his first 6 seasons. That is generally what you should be looking for. Also, when it comes to Mahomes, a couple of interesting notes. There have been some narratives that have been put out there by NFL academics, I say that in quotation marks, that you need to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on a rookie deal. Patrick Mahomes just won the Super Bowl, taking up 17% of the team's salary cap. That is a load of crap, the winning on a rookie deal. The cap inflates every single year. Every single year. The teams that have a lot of money can find ways around the cap entirely. Take a look at the Los Angeles Rams. They do not care about the salary cap. They don't care about picks, and yet they continue to extend people. How does that work? Clearly, Stan Kroenke has a ton of money, and he's willing to actually spend it. Credit to him, even though he did rob the city of St. Louis of a football team. You also had people that used to say this, like, you can't win the Super Bowl if you have the MVP on your team. Because for whatever reason, Kurt Warner in 1999 was the last MVP to win a Super Bowl. But he is the first quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl as the league's MVP and league's passing yards leader. So, again, guys, if you're the Houston Texans, you should be looking for someone like Patrick Mahomes. So Thank you, Brian T. Smith.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah, according to Brian T. Smith, the Texans should try to get someone who like Patrick Mahomes who,
yeah,
from the sounds of it, is the best quarterback in the league.
You should try to get the best quarterback in the league.
You can. Try to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Another thing we learned.
I hope Casario's listening.
Sean, I hope so too. Something else we learned from the Super Bowl. The Eagles, this is an article from Jonathan Alexander. By the way, I like both these guys. I saw the headlines. I get it. You're trying to think of something to write about with the Houston Texans after the Super Bowl.
I get that if they have to write another like draft-related thing, they're going to put a gun to their head. So, probably. Yeah, they had to.
They've been writing those for 3 months. And the game be the game, as they say in The Wire. Jonathan Alexander, headline, "How the Eagles Built NFL's Best Roster Offers a Blueprint for the Texans." So, yeah, the Texans should try to have a Patrick Mahomes, or they should try to have the best roster in the NFL.
Now, Paul, if you could choose, the Texans either have the best quarterback in the league or the best roster in the league, which one do you choose?
Well, the first one's more easy to get.
Well, the first one also just won the Super Bowl.
Right. Patrick Mahomes.
2 days ago.
Grow on trees. They do.
Yeah. Just,
you know?
Just get the best quarterback in the league. Come on.
There are a lot of teams that have good rosters out there that don't have a good quarterback, and the Eagles also happen to have a very good quarterback. So if you're making me pick between the two, I mean, having a great roster, awesome. But, I mean, as Patrick Mahomes even said in his speech, this was a down year for Kansas City, and yet they won the Super Bowl. It was supposed to be a down year for Kansas City.
They played 10 rookies in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they won.
Seriously.
And, like, two of them are seventh-round picks.
They moved on from Tyreek Hill. Like, well, didn't matter. One last thought, as we talk about like, teams that the Texans should try to copy, it does feel like they're trying to copy the San Francisco 49ers right now, right? And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think if we're being consistent with all the people that hate people trying to copy the Patriots, I think you should hate on trying to copy exactly any team. San Francisco's had a lot of success over the last couple of years. But, I mean, they are trying to replicate, like, the San Francisco way, if you will, here. Just a thought. Anyway, that has been your Texans Spin Zone, everybody. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text in as well. By the way, you want to take the day off from work and play a fun round of golf with us? The ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com is right around the corner. It benefits kids' meals. This year's tournament is going to take place March 8th, a Wednesday, 10:30 at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from the Carback Brewing Company. Ooh, going to have some rodeo clowns out there? That could get dangerous. Lunch, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick awards ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Coming up next, what better way to follow up Texans talk than talking about the Houston Rockets? How bad did they lose last night? We'll discuss.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.